Calvary Gospel Church. Welcome to 2022. You can be seated. Hope you came into this year and into service this morning expecting God to do great and mighty things, because we serve an awesome God. And in case you didn't notice, winter is here. 3 months in county. Amen. And if you enjoy it, enjoy it. If you don't, well, pray extra hard. Amen. God is good. I'm glad you're here this morning. If you are watching online, there's a bit.ly link you could fill out Just a few points of information. We'd love to get to connect with you, get to know you a little bit better. If you're here in person, we have a connection card that one of the ushers should have gave you. If you, by chance, you weren't able to get one, there's one at the welcome kiosk. Please fill that out, turn in a few points of information. We'd love to get to connect with you, get to know you a little bit better. And if you turn that in at the welcome kiosk, we have a small gift of appreciation. Amen. How many believe that God rewards a cheerful giver? So I brought my smile and my offering into the house this morning. You can give out at the welcome kiosk at the offering box. You can also give by mailing it in, by texting to give, or by using the Church Center app. Next Sunday, January 8th, hallelujah, we got the wrong day. See, it pays to read. Next Saturday, we'll be having our Section 3 men's breakfast at 9 a.m. at the Potter's House in Monroe. See Pastor Jerry for more details. We'll also be having our Ladies Secret Pal Reveal and name drawing at 4 p.m. at the Deerfield Coffee Shop. Then there will be an optional dinner to follow. See Sister Martha for more details. Can you wave your hand, Sister Martha? See Sister Martha for more details. Next Sunday at 10 a.m., we'll be kicking off our new classes for our God's Word for Life curriculum. This will be the classes that will join our Sunday school and our adults and our youth and everyone all in the same curriculum on Sunday morning. So come expecting God to do a great move and let us grow together. Back on October 10th, Pastor and Evangelist Aaron Wright was here, and he challenged the entire church to pray and fast for leadership, to stand behind leadership, and to lift them up every day for the remainder of that year, but also continuing going forward. And right now, at this time, we have a brief message from Brother Aaron Wright.
Calvary Gospel Church, it is Aaron, and I just wanted to stop in real quick to congratulate you on nearly 3 full months of spiritual warfare on the behalf of your leadership and pastor there in Madison. So it was back in October that I stood before you and I preached a message called A Church Without Ceasing. And in the Bible, we see two trends. One, when adversity or hell begins to attack the people of God, it's a no-brainer. The leadership step up to the plate. They draw their swords and they go to war on the behalf of the people of God. But we also see the example that when leadership is being targeted, when leadership is being headhunted, that the church steps up to the plate and they go to war on the behalf of their leaders. We saw that Herod was headhunting leadership. He was vexing certain of the Jews. Leadership, he killed James, and now he takes Peter, throws him in prison. But the Bible says, prayer was made without ceasing unto God on his behalf. And of course, an angel comes and he is delivered from Herod's attempts to kill him. And so, both sides of the spectrum, leadership fights for the people of God and the people of God fight for the leadership. And for 3 months, there has been prayer and fasting around the clock on the behalf of your leadership and your pastor. And I want to congratulate you for that. However, Merry Christmas, by the way, and Happy New Year. We are now in a new year. And so where do we go from here? Do we stop doing what we've done? I would say absolutely not. I would still send text to Pastor Jessica, hey, I'm going to be praying this day and fasting this day for Pastor Grant. When I have been praying and meditating for your church and more specifically for your pastor, one thing that keeps coming to my mind is I feel like there's been a strong attempt on the adversary's behalf to muddy the waters in his mind, to try to distract him from the vision that God has given him. And really, I would encourage this church to, like never before, bind together in unity and pray for clarity of mind in your pastor's vision. Amen. And not only that, he has the vision, and that's why hell is fighting. So continue to pray against the efforts of hell to distract him from that vision. Great things are in store. This church is going somewhere. Amen. Come on, somebody. Let me get a little preachy here. I said this church is going somewhere. Right now, I'm not there, but you should be high-fiving your neighbor. You should be amen, and somebody should be on their feet preaching me right now. Come on, somebody. I'm feeling it. This church is going somewhere, and it cannot go where God has called it to go unless you're going to be involved, unless you're on board, unless you're putting efforts into prayer and fasting and support of the leadership. And so this year, like never before, Listen, you don't need a calendar to send a text message to your pastor. Keep fighting. I'm with you. We're on board. We're beside you. All right? You don't need a calendar to fast. If you guys feel compelled to continue that calendar, amen. But I have high expectation in my spirit that God is going to do amazing things for you and also in your leadership this year. So would you do that with me? Would you pray this year specifically for the vision that God has given your pastor to be as clear as it's ever been, but also to pray against all of the distractions that have come against him that would hinder the vision from coming to pass. Let's bind together in the name of Jesus. And again, congratulations on nearly 3 full months of spiritual warfare on the behalf of your pastor. I sure love each and every one of you, and I sure love your pastor and his wonderful wife, Lois. I give them big air hugs. Be blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm going to commit to praying and fasting for my pastor and pastor's wife and leadership because I want a clear vision to go forth. I want them to be able to minister as God has called them to minister. Would you stand with me this morning? If you would like to be part of the prayer and fasting initiative and you have not yet signed up or been a part, please see Pastor Jessica. If you don't know who Pastor Jessica is, see one of the ushers and they can guide you to the right person. I mean, we're just going to go to the Lord in prayer for an awesome move. I don't know about you, but I've already experienced a touch from Jesus this morning, but he's not done yet. He still has more. And before you leave this house this morning or before you finish watching online, get everything that you have need of for Jesus and from Jesus because he paid the price for you. And he wants 2022 to be an unexpected, miraculous outpouring of his divine power in this church, in this nation, and around the world. And I want to be part of that. Amen. So I'm going to get behind my leadership. I'm going to get behind the will of God. And we are going to see the Spirit of God break forth in the state of Wisconsin and Dane County and around the world. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, for the challenge that has went forth by Brother Wright. God, thank you that we can be a part of your kingdom. Thank you for good shepherds, God, and good pastoral team that watch over us, that guide us and lead us. God, thank you that we can bind together and lift them up in prayer and fasting. Have your way in this service, God. Thank you for the worship and the lesson we've already experienced this morning. But thank you, God, for what you still have in store. Be with Pastor as he delivers the word. We love you, Jesus. There's nobody else like you. Let every need be met this morning in the house and online. We love you, God. You're awesome, mighty, holy, and wonderful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's worship together.
Yeah. over every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name.
Atmosphere is changing. Nothing stays the same. Heaven is waiting for the mention of the name. Spirit is moving, burning like a flame, healing the broken by the one we proclaim. So raise it up. Sky, oh, chains will fall, mountains move, we lift him high. Come on, speak the name above all other names. Speak the name the wind and waves obey. All of what's that name? The name of Jesus. Oh.
Gather all the wonder, hostages of shame, miracles unfolding at the mention of a name. Darkness is fleeing, mercy raining down. Since move, we lift him high. Speak the name above all other names. Speak the name.
If you can feel what I can feel, but I feel like God wants to do something. And if it's okay, Pastor, if we can just take this moment to just lift him up and worship him. Hallelujah, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we lift up your name today. The wonderful name, the glorious name, the powerful name of Jesus. God, we just sang about strongholds being broken, fear having to leave, God, and I know that you want to do that right now. Strongholds are broken. I've been made free. I am forgiven. Fear has to leave. Strongholds are broken. I've been made free. Can we sing that together?
Strongholds uprose.
We're proclaiming it. We're not just saying.
I've been made free.
Oh,
I am forgiven. Fear has fled. Strongholds are broken. I've been made free. I am forgiven. Fear has fled.
Let's take a moment and give him everything. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's lift him up today. Come on, raise your voice. If he's freed you, if he's delivered you, hallelujah, Jesus. We're forgiven, God. It doesn't matter what we've done. Jesus, we're forgiven because your blood has washed us clean. You said we are forgiven. You said we're made new, Jesus. In you, Jesus, all things don't matter. Everything else is gone, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Can we just sing that together again?
Strongholds are broken.
Proclaim it.
I've been made free.
Thank you, Jesus.
I am forgiven. Fear has fled.
Sing it out.
Strongholds are broken. I've been made free. Oh.
Such a special presence of God in this place today. It's our first official service of the new year. And I know we all anticipate this spectacular beginning. Don't we look at it that way? We look at the new year as, oh, I'm so glad to kick 2021 to the curb. But we have no guarantee that 2022 is going to be better. In fact, if I believe Scripture, and if I believe and I'm observant with what's going on around me, 2022 probably will not be better. I'm just a realist here, okay? You can paint roses all you want to, but behind the veil of roses is reality. And this message today is really kind of an introduction to this year. You can be seated. It's so good to see Carl and Cecily back visiting. It's great that when they come back, Cecily just jumps right back in like she's never left. And thank you for that. As I was listening to Brother Aaron Wright's challenge to us as a church, I just the first time I listened to it was last night. It's a challenge to us as a church, but also a challenge to us as an individual. I wish to remind us that this year, so much of what we have been planning, so much of what we've been working on, so much of what we've been working towards will all fall into place as God intended. If you weren't here for our first session, Brother Seidel's message, he didn't know this, probably was an incredible introduction to not just this year, but to this message, because God has laid everything out in eternity. And this year, our time will catch up to his eternity. And I believe that these past few years, all the struggles, all the issues, all the battles that we have had to fight as a church and as an individual have not gone to waste. That this ongoing pandemic that we are seemingly, it's like Groundhog Day. If you remember back in the 80s, a movie, Groundhog Day, it's like we wake up every day and it's the same old thing day after day after day after day and nothing seems to change. But you see, this ongoing pandemic that maybe at one time Satan felt was going to destroy the church has really not destroyed the church. It has not weakened the body of Christ. It has done just the opposite. It has strengthened our resolve. It has strengthened our beliefs. It has given me a new level of tenacity. I love how God designed the bulldog. You wonder why a bulldog's nose is all pushed in and tilted up and it looks like he ran into the back of a school bus. Is because he can bite on to his prey and he can hang on and hang on and hang on and he doesn't have to release to breathe. Because the way God designed his face is he can tie into something and hang on to it and not let go regardless. He doesn't have to stop and let go to take a breath of air. I believe that this past year, the last few years that God threw the situations in our lives has given us a bulldog tenacity. There have been times, as we refer to this vision that I've shared with the church, I haven't talked a whole lot about it lately because it's become a source of irritation. This vision that God has seared into my heart and into my mind, I wonder and have wondered if any of this will ever take place. I've struggled with this, wondering, Lord, did somewhere along the road did I lead the church in a wrong direction? Did we make a wrong turn? Are we so far off course that we have missed out on what you have planned for us? But since September of last year, God has, through many different avenues, reassured me. God has given to me an encouragement through the body of Christ within this local assembly as well as others outside of this body that know very little of what is happening. I would like to thank some of those. We heard from Brother Aaron Wright this morning. I would like to thank him for investing in this congregation. I'd like to thank Brother Galen and Sister Ann Thompson. They're not here. They probably may not ever listen to this message, but I thank you for investing your time into this body here in Madison. I thank Brother Morton Bustard for raising our faith levels when our faith can get low, and I thank Steve and Terry Spears and Brother Jonathan Mackey and all the missionaries who have been so spot on in their ministry over the last few years to us here at Calvary Gospel Church. And most of all, I thank all of our staff. I thank our pastors on our staff that have ministered. They have all made an impact on this church over the past season of our lives. And I am thankful. As God has orchestrated all of this and put all of these pieces into motion, and they have all had an impact over the past season of our lives. So today, as we start out on our journey into 2022, a new season for this church, I wish to speak to you just for a short time, a short challenge here this morning, and I'd like to title this message, So What If They Don't Believe? So what when people begin to look at you and you begin to share the vision that God has given you as an individual, or the dream that God has given you, and you look at that dream and you begin to share it, and you begin to seemingly it's crumbling around you. And you begin to talk about it, and people look at you with that look in their eyes, and I don't care if you don't believe. It doesn't matter to me what your opinion is or isn't. So what? If people don't believe that God has called you to be a minister. Reading from a favorite book of mine, Our Manual for Life. Reading from the Message passage or version of this, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. Such a very powerful but short passage of scripture. It says, we plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. Let's read this again a little bit slower here. You and I, every day, every week, every month, we set goals, we have life, we have things we want to accomplish. And we look at our lives, and so many times we fall so short of those. But Scripture tells us we plan the way we want to live, meaning it is our plans. We plan it out, but only God will be able to make us to live it. So as this applies spiritually in our lives, you may have a plan, you may have an experience, you may have a transformation, a conversion, or a change. Why? Because God provides it to us. There are a few things that we must have on our journey this year if we are to reach our goals, thus the change in our lives. And one thing, church, that we must have and we must have is we have to have God's Spirit to empower us. We cannot complete the mission, the journey, unless God's Spirit is with us. We need God's help to make the changes in ourselves that we cannot make on our own. You see, understand something. Life's changes are not always based on willpower. We are taught if you're an alcoholic, you can go to Alcohol Anonymous and you can take, and it's through your sheer willpower and through being accountable to other people in your group that you can make it through this. We have all kinds of issues in our lives and so many things we look at. We look and say, I can get through this through my willpower. But you see, we need to understand that life's changes are not always based on willpower, but it's based on God's power. It's not based on trying and trying and trying, but it's based on trusting, trusting, trusting. So many times I have tried and failed. I want to trust God and succeed in my life. I love what the Old Testament prophet Zechariah says in his book, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says, you will not succeed by your own strength or by your own power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord all-powerful. You will want to live, but only God gives you the power and the energy to succeed by your own strength. Church, we need God's word to guide us. So many people are veering away from God's word because they say it's archaic and it doesn't apply anymore to our relevant culture of today, which happens to change with the winds. But I want to tell you, this Bible, this word right here, I want to hide it more than ever in my heart. I want it to be the rock that I stand on. I want it to be the foundation that I build on. It is my owner's manual for my life. Has Bishop not taught us that? The Bible is a manual for life. Speaking of our bishop, we need to just pray for him. If you could pray today and this next week, he was taken into the hospital about 2:30 this morning. He's been fighting an infection, and it's just kind of been doing some weird things. So they took him into the hospital. And, of course, now they test everybody for COVID and all this and that. And he did test back positive for COVID. But just pray that God would have his hand on his life. And also, my mother is kind of having a rough time dealing with all of this. So, but Bishop has taught us. I remember him standing behind this pulpit when he was diagnosed with cancer. And he told us, "I've been teaching you how to live. Maybe it's time that I teach you how to die." What does he say? Statistically, one out of one will die. Church, we need God's word in our lives to guide us. The Bible is the owner's manual for life. The more you read it, study it, memorize it, meditate it, the more successful and fulfilled you're going to be. I have to say honestly, I don't understand everything I read every time I read it. Sometimes I have to search it out. Sometimes I have to take and I have to get advice from an elder and say, "What do you think? What is this telling us?" Sometimes I struggle with what I read. Because you see, I live in the flesh just as you live in the flesh. And sometimes my flesh doesn't want to do what Proverbs tells me I should do, or what Ecclesiastes tells me I should do, or what James is telling me I should do, or what Peter or Paul or what Jesus is telling me I should do. But you see, the more successful and fulfilled we are based upon how much of his word that we ingest. I love what Joshua was given a great dream. He took over from Moses, a very difficult situation. 40 years they'd wandered in the wilderness. Joshua was there every one of those 40 years. He had a dream, he had a vision, he had a plan that God had given him. No doubt when he went in as a spy 40 years earlier and spied out the land with his friend, buddy Caleb, and 10 other spies, that he had a different idea of the promised land than what the other 10 had. He looked at it as a God opportunity where that God can show all of Israel and all of the world who he is and how mighty and powerful he is. But because of their unbelief, you see, so here we find Joshua in Joshua 1:8, reading, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will achieve success." This wasn't at the end of his journey. This was at the beginning of the conquest of Canaan. God is telling him, "Listen, I will give you battle plans. I will tell you how to defeat your enemy. But one thing you must do every day, every day. It's not about the fight with the enemy. It's about your relationship with me. I want you to meditate. I want you to take this book. The first thing you do when you get up in the morning is I want you to read it. I want it to depart. I don't want it to depart from your mouth. I want you to meditate on it day and night." So if you're trying in your life, sometimes we try so hard to reach our goals, and we want to change life on our own. But you see, God is saying, listen, I'm here. We're partners in this. How many of you believe you're a partner with God and his kingdom? I'm a partner with God. I've partnered. I've told God so many times recently, God, this isn't mine. This is yours. And I've asked God, why do we get kicked around so much, Lord, fighting for you? You need to listen to Brother Seidel's message. So listen to me today, please. We got to stop flying this trip solo by ourselves. God never designed us to fight the enemy by ourselves. We have to learn to rely on the Holy Spirit. We have to learn to rely on God's word, and we have to learn to rely on God's people. There's one thing I've learned in the last year, over the last year, is that God's people are critical. You, as my brother and sister, are critical to my survival as a Christian. I can't do this without you, and you can't do it without the person sitting next to you. And we can't do this without each other. Sometimes we want to take and we want to hide behind our masks, and we want to hide in our living room, and we want to, well, all of this, we're going to let, I am not going to let fear control my destiny. I can't. Do I like everything that's happening? Absolutely not. We're not even going to get into that. But we got to keep. Listen to me. So what? So what if some people don't believe what God has told you he's going to do through you? So what? I was talking to a brother just a few weeks ago, and I said, you know, he asked me about Mission 2025. As I said, I haven't talked. Some of you may not even know what I'm referring to. But back in 2020, we brought this before the church. And we talked about Mission 2025 and how we wanted to plant 15 churches, 25 churches, I believe, in the greater Dane County area by the year 2025. It's 2022. We're not anywhere near that. But then I begin to have to understand and realize that God is in control of all of this. And I say, God, where's all of the funds coming from? You know what? I don't have to worry about that. I don't. I don't have to worry about where the manpower's coming from. I don't have to worry about what buildings or where all of this is going to take place and all of this is going to happen. You see, because God said, you just keep working. You just keep pushing. You just keep leading in a direction, and I'll be there when you get there. Just as Joshua, when he entered into the promised land, they crossed over the Red. So many awesome things happened for them to get there. They get in soon as their feet, they got the Jordan River right in front of them. As soon as their feet touched the water, just as God did for Moses, he did for Joshua. The rivers parted. The waters parted. They get to Jericho. They can't. There's no way they're going to. They didn't even have to sling an arrow. All they did was they just had to have church like normal. They just had a worship service. They marched around and they worshiped. And God did. God took care of everything. So what? If some people say, Pastor Roy, this is absolutely ludicrous. This is never going to happen. I don't buy into it. I don't believe it. So what? I don't care if you don't believe it. I don't care. Listen, all I can tell you is if God tells you to do something, do it. Just do it. That's where that Mountain Dew commercial is one of my favorite. Just do it. Do it. Others have no control. This took me a little bit to get this out of my head. Other people have no control over what God has told you to do. I'm sorry, but the Canaanites had no control over Joshua. When God said, do it, he did it. You see, their unbelief, other people's unbelief, will not cancel, it will not change, it will not alter God's promise for you. It doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter what other people say. Their unbelief's not going to change God one bit. I don't think this is going to happen. I don't care. I don't care. Every dream, when you go into the scripture, and I don't have time to go through all of this morning, but every dream, Joseph was a dreamer. Abraham headed out on a dream, a promise from God. He was chasing after something God promised him. He had never seen it. But every dream has opposition. Every dream has opposition. And when you are in the will of God, church, if you are in God's will, you will have opposition. It's going to happen. There will always be people who do not accept what you and I know to be true. So if God said, this is what I want you to do, this is how I want you to do it, and he sets you on a path, you stay on that path and you do it. Will there be opposition? There will be opposition. Will there be the devil trying to tell lies into your ears? Yes. False accusations are part of the opposition. It's going to happen. False accusations and trials. Evil going to come against you. But it cannot stop. It cannot stop what God has told you. You see, a real dream, a God-given dream, does not die when opposition comes. It grows. It grows. Man cannot kill that which God has given life to. The enemy does not possess the power to stop what God has already placed in motion. You see, we have to understand, too, that if God gives you a dream, your dream is not dependent upon somebody else. So many times we get distracted by other people's talents, by other people's abilities, and we think for some reason that their talent and their ability are my pathway. I have to connect. God is our source. God is our source. God is my door opener. What doors God opens, he opens, and what doors he shuts. And if he opens it, no man can close it. And if he closes it, no man can open it. So your dream is not dependent upon someone else, but we have to remember that there are times when people become your resource for your dream. So hear me, okay? People are important. We have to remember people aren't the source of your dream. God is the source of your dream. People will come and people will go. But God will provide everything you need. A dream, the dream that is in you, that God has given to you, Brother Claude, a promise that God has given you, no man can take it away. But Brother Claude, we need people. You need people to help with the dream that God has given you. We need people If you depend on people, listen, this is very, very important. If you depend on people for your dream solely and not God, you will go from praying for them, as P-R-A-Y-I-N-G, you will go from praying for them to praying on them, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, for your needs. The dream that God has given to this church, the vision that God has given, it didn't start with me. It started in 1946 with a J.C. Penney manager that had a dream to plant a church in Madison, Wisconsin. And that dream has been growing and growing and growing and growing for decades. People have come and people have gone. But you see, God is our source. And He will provide all that we need. You see, there are many, when you look around, there's a lot of empty seats sometimes here. Because people have felt that, well, I really don't need the family of God. I can get everything I need online. Fellowship is such an important part. We're going to go into this more next week. But we need this family. We need the body of Christ. We cannot reach the goals that God has given us on our own. So God has given and placed here in Madison a team of people to help fulfill the dreams that God has given to us. What does Ecclesiastes 4:12 say? By yourself, you're unprotected. With a friend, you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? This is from the Message. Then it says, a three-stranded rope isn't easily snapped. You see, Jesus didn't always get support from the crowd. Sometimes the crowd was against him. But he had a small group. He had 12 disciples that gave him the support that he needed to build the ministry that God wanted him to have. He couldn't do it by himself. He reached the 12, and the 12 reached the masses. So people around you, your small groups, your groups of influence, those people that you fellowship with and you hang out with, they're all vitally important. When you're sick, it's so comforting to know that I can just call on a handful of people and say, hey man, could you just pray for me? I am not feeling well today. When you're having a tough time, isn't it nice sometimes to just get on the phone, Sister Martha, and call a sister? Say, man, I had a really bad experience at work today. Just get on a, just to be able to have that connection with family. You're my family. Did you know that? I hope you look at your brothers and sisters that way. This is my family. We can share our goals, share our successes, and yes, even share failures at times. We can rejoice with each other, encourage each other to keep each other going. See, sometimes if God has given you a dream, a vision, sometimes we could question. Has any of you ever questioned God's dream, your purpose that God has given you? Anybody? Am I the only one here? Sometimes confession is good for the soul. Get your hand up there. Okay. We've all questioned. Is this really God speaking? Can you imagine Moses? I mean, just if every time God just speak to the rock. What do you mean speak to the rock? Lord, I don't want to talk to a rock. People are going to think I'm stupid.
I got all these people out here. They're all thirsty. They all want something to drink. And I'm supposed to speak to a rock and water's going to come out of a rock. When's the last time you've taken a rock and squeezed it and water came out? When's the last time you picked up a rock, shook it, and water came out? You can drill a hole in a rock and put a plant in it. It takes water to grow the plant. Listen, rocks don't produce water. They may hold water, certain types of rocks, but they don't produce water. So you want me to talk to this rock in front of a million people? Command water to come forth? Sometimes we question our dreams. God, is this really? Are you sure about this, God? Is this really you speaking? It's okay to ask that question. It's okay. So if that's your question today, God, is this really you speaking? I'm preaching at myself this morning. Is this you, God? We got to ask yourself, what's the origin? Where did this dream come from? Where did this come from? Identify the origin, the voice. Where did it come from? Did it come from my imagination? Or did it come from God? I've had a lot of crazy my imagination dreams. And I've wasted a lot of time and a lot of energy, a lot of resources on crazy Roy dreams. I don't have enough time. I want God dreams in my life. What talent and resources do you have? God won't give you a dream if you don't have the ability to follow through with everything. God always provides. God always provides. Listen, if God's given you a gift, whatever that gift may be, that gift will make room for you. I remember years ago, a sister in the church came up to me and said, God's given you a gift. Allow God to let the gift make room. Don't force it. Don't push it. Let it happen. It'll happen. It'll happen naturally. Just let it work. Let God work it out. I appreciated that advice so very much because it's been so very true. So many times we try to rush things. Sometimes we try to push things. Sometimes we have to take inventory, personal inventory of our lives. What is it, Lord? What is it that I have? God, what are the talents, the abilities that you've given me? They're going to match God's dream for your life. They're going to match God's dream for your life. Don't make the mistake that Sarah made, Abraham's wife. She got impatient. She said, you're going to have a son. Out of this son is going to come many, many, many nations. Abraham, you're the father. Sarah, you're going to be the mother of all of these nations, all of this. Sarah wasn't very patient. God had a plan. But Sarah thought that, well, God's plan's taken too long, so I want to hurry this process up a little bit. She became the mother. Abraham became the father of many nations. I did a study recently on all of the various nations that came out of Abraham. All of them. Israel was God's chosen nation, but all the other nations that came out of Abraham all are at war with Israel today. They're still fighting today. All because of one person's inability and impatience and said, well, let's not wait on God. Let's just do this ourselves. And if you dream, if it's a God dream, it's going to be an intimidating dream. It's going to be a dream that you look at and you're like, God, there's no way I can do this. I look at the dream, the vision that God has given us here. And I look at it, God, we cannot do this. It's good. It's good that we can't do it. You know why? Because God never intended for us to do it by ourselves. God never intended for us to do this by ourselves. So don't let the smallness, you may say, well, I've got a pretty small dream. Don't let a small dream discourage you. Don't let a big dream discourage you. Don't let the magnitude of your dream discourage you. If the dream has a giant in its way, remember, just remember that we serve a giant killer. So if you stand this morning, if our musicians can come again. This was not what I originally had planned to preach this morning. I was praying last night and God just spoke to me so clear and so vivid. It's amazing sometimes when you begin to question something and then God reassures it or reaffirms it. I get a text message. Pastor Roy, I don't know what this means. Don't have any idea. But God just woke me up in the middle of the night, and you were on my mind. And I just want to tell you that just keep doing what you're doing. Don't change anything. Stay the course. I received back in September. Sometimes things can get a little rough. You all know that. I'm not any different. I just tell you, I'm not any different than anyone here. When I get tired, I get worn out, I get frustrated. Some of you have seen that frustration. Some of you have talked with you. Sometimes you just begin to question, God, where's all this going? I received as I said, sometimes God just places people in your life at the right time. God sends. That's why it's so important sometimes, church, when if God tells you, God speaks to you and says, you know, I want you to go tell Sister Jean. Before she leaves, I want you to go tell her that God's got this. Don't worry about it. God's got it. We just sit there and we're like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Gina. Just follow. Just do it. I'm so thankful that this brother just did it. I got a text message. I don't get text messages like this all the time. Most of them have some little emoji with it, and then I got to sit there and look at it, trying to figure out exactly what this is meaning. Some of them are so poorly written. I've got one brother that I have to literally decipher what he's saying because his English, it's just like, he'll just leave words out, leave letters out of words. Got to read it. I laugh sometimes when I go to my wife and says, can you help me with this? I cannot figure this one out. He says, hello, brother. I woke from a dream in which I saw Calvary Gospel Church distracted, unfocused, disoriented. Next, I saw you, Pastor Roy, under multiple attacks, both body and mind. I awoke. God spoke to me. He said, Pastor Roy is under attack of the enemy because of the vision I have given him and that he has declared. The enemy cannot stop the vision from coming to pass. So the attacks are attempts to stop the vision from coming to pass through diversions and distractions. I think Brother Aaron Wright summed that up very well. I haven't shared any of this with him. The church has not fully grasped the spiritual nature of Pastor Roy's maladies and had not been urgent enough in spiritual warfare. Now, this was written before we went on 3 months. I just want to tell you the text messages, phone calls, the cards that my wife and I received in the last 3 months has made such a drastic difference in my life. Thank you, Calvary Gospel Church. I love you folks so very, very much. But the enemy can and must be defeated, and the vision rallied. I didn't know if I wanted to share this morning, and then I got that text message somewhere in the middle of the night last night. Stay on course. Stay focused. Stay focused. So what? So what if they don't believe? Are we ready for all that God has for us next? Are we ready for 2022? Are you willing to believe that God's word and his promises for your life, even when it may look like it's impossible? He's sitting here today and saying, but Pastor Roy, I don't have a whole church praying for me. How do you know? How do you know who's praying for you? Sometimes it's so easy to get intimidated. I'm tired of the enemy intimidating me. I'm tired of the enemy telling me I'm not who I already know I am. Isn't that what he tries to do all the time? Don't eat of the fruit, it's going to kill you. I mean, everything he tells us, if he tells you anything, it's a lie. Yet we'll believe it. And then we'll start repeating it. I serve a mighty God. I serve a mighty God. So what if others don't believe? This doesn't change God's promise or diminish it in any way, shape, or form. We plan the way we want to live, but only God. But only God makes us able to live it. The world may be falling apart and going to hell in a handbasket. But that doesn't diminish God's power and authority and what he said he's going to do one single bit. So as we enter into 2022, church, let's start living the dream. Let's share our portion of the dream that God has. This isn't happening just because of one person. It's happening because of a collective group of people, God's body, said, we're going to finish this thing. We're going to finish what God started. So what if they don't believe? So what? I don't care. I'm going to follow God has called. I have to. I made a commitment. I made a promise. I don't want to break a promise to my God. So maybe here today, God has given you a dream. Whatever it is, I don't know. It could be so far outlandish that you're afraid to share it with anybody. That's a God dream. It means you can't get there on your own. So at some point, you're going to have to share it, because you're going to need other people to help you get there. It's going to take a lot of faith. It's going to take a lot of trust. have to take a lot of dying to self. Maybe you're in that situation this morning. I don't know. Maybe life isn't working out how you quite thought it was, how you planned it to be. But you see, God makes us able to live it. God makes us able. As our praise team, our worship team begins to sing, I just want to open up this altar this morning. awesome day. Thank you, Brother Seidel, for such a powerful word this morning. And, I just received one of the most unique gifts. Huddleston's here. I'm kind of in awe. Many of you know I'm just very sentimental. And I don't know where I got that from. My mom or dad. But they gave me a... I just wanted to put this out so you could see it because I think it's incredible. It's a picture of a collage of pictures of all of our messages, all of our pastoral staff, all of our special speakers over the whole year. So they've been working on this, collecting all of this, put it all together. And the scripture says, Psalms 18:1, I love you, O Lord, my strength. And they titled it Memories 2021. And Alan, Carol, thank you so very, very much. I will put this in my office so we can all enjoy it and share it. Then they gave me a photo, a nice photo of other pictures. It's got some cool pictures of Brother Caskey wound up in here, and Brother Fabian, and our Youth Week, and Bells, Trumpets, and Beacons. You made it, Brother Seidel. Brother Peter's in here, Sister Brown, Sister Jessica, thank you so very much. I love all of you. This has been such a, just an incredible journey that we're on together. And I'm so thankful to be a part of it, to be a part of your lives, and be a part of my life. And, God bless you all. We'll be back here Wednesday evening. And remember, next Sunday will be the start of our God's Word for Life. So I'll be speaking our first session, and then you'll hear me twice next Sunday. I'll be speaking our second session. We're gonna start off into 2022, and our series, starting the series, is going to be just titled Simply Church. Simply Church. And we're going to talk about our month of January, where we usually have a month of prayer and fasting. We're going to do some different things this year. So, excited about it. God bless you. Love you all. Thank you so much, Carl and Cecily. Cecily, for being here and singing with us. And don't we have such an awesome music team? I am so... Even though Sister Abby's a Viking fan, we still love her. God bless you. We will be back here on Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock.